Who's ready for a live mock draft tonight? The Final Staff Mock 3.0 coming at you next here on the Draft Countdown Podcast. Welcome to tonight's special edition of the Draft Countdown Podcast. I'm your, as of right now, host, Brian Bosarge. Shane is running a little behind, but I can tell you that we are 14 days, 22 hours, 58 minutes, and 24 seconds away from the 2024 NFL Draft, a little under 2 weeks. So we felt it was time for the Draft Countdown staff to come back together and run through a one-round mock draft. So like I said, Shane's not here, but the rest of the gang is right now, and that leads us to my man, Brad Menendez, our resident Lions fan and YouTube guy, man. I mean, you've been pumping out all these team mock draft simulators like crazy the last few weeks, man. How are you doing tonight, Brad?
I'm excited, electrified. We are ready. We're getting close. I mean, this draft is important for so many reasons, for so many teams. My Lions, it's just one step closer to that Super Bowl, so I'm ready. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to see what we do to make the world mad with our draft picks, and I'll be glad to make some selections as we go. How are you, Brian? How's it going, brother?
Man, I'm doing great. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. Also joining us tonight is the living legend himself, our good buddy Pigskin Paul. Paul, man, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing okay, guys. I'm doing okay. I'm getting fired up and doing my usual. Ooh, maybe I waited too long to get after some of this stuff, but it's okay.
Hey, nothing like a last-minute cram session, right? Takes you right back to the old college days, right?
Yes, absolutely, except at my age, I can't stay up that late anymore.
Hey, man, it's draft season. You're going to be putting in some late nights these next few weeks, man, so you might as well get used to it.
Okay. All right. Crack the whip, dude.
Last with us now is Miranda Wilhelm, our resident Packer Hokie. Miranda, how are you doing tonight?
Good. Ready.
She is ready. And like I said, Shane is running a little behind, slacking on us, man. I don't know. But luckily for us, most of Shane's picks are in the back half of the draft. But he was due up first here with the first pick of the draft in the Chicago Bears. So I'm going to handle this one for Shane. Because let's be honest.
I think we know. Yeah.
This is a lock, right?
Yeah.
So with the first pick in the staff mock draft, the Chicago Bears, by way of the Carolina Panthers, will select quarterback Caleb Williams from Southern Cal. Like I said, this is all well and easy, right?
Yep.
And I mean, I'd be okay. Oh, go ahead, Paul. You could have let the clock run out like the Vikings did last. So, I mean, I would have been okay with Caleb Williams falling to two. But, yeah, it's at this point, it's a foregone conclusion. There's no reason to think otherwise.
Yeah, we're not even putting this one in Sharpie. We're taking out the stone tablet and just chiseling this baby in. It's a done deal. Caleb Williams, I mean, best quarterback prospect since, I guess, Lawrence a few years ago, right? I mean, is he a better prospect in your eye? Paul, I'll go to you. Is he a better prospect than Trevor Lawrence was at this time?
No, I don't think so. But I think that's a good comp, relatively speaking, to draw. Because we had been watching Trevor Lawrence, it seemed like forever, And it was, again, considered a slam dunk that he was going to be number one. So that's very similar to what Caleb has done. So it's a good comp.
Paul, you're the elder statesman of the group. I don't know if you caught Shane's quarterback comp article yesterday, but his comp for Caleb Williams was John Elway.
Well, that's interesting. I try like heck not to comp prospects to Hall of Fame players.
Well, right, but you know, as John Elway as a prospect.
Well, maybe.
Do you see similarities?
Maybe. I'm trying to remember that far back.
I'm surprised Shane can remember that far back.
Shane wasn't born yet. I don't
believe. He's guessing. Look, I'm walking into not being born yet. That's never.
You missed Shane, I made your pick. You blew your pick, buddy. We already picked, and the Bears don't get him.
I assumed it was Caleb Williams, Chicago, with the number one pick, right? That yes. feels safe. Now, what we were talking about was your comp to John Elway in your article. So now you're here. You can defend it.
Well, like I do not watch John Elway. Okay, so but I don't see a comp for Caleb Williams that applies here. And I think like Elway, looking at his senior season, I went back and watched a couple games of what I could find of Elway's last season at Stanford. There's some games out there, and I think they're similar players in how they understood defenses, you know, how they commanded the offense and the team. So that's as good as I can get. People called Elway entitled for what he was trying to pull in the draft. People are having the same criticisms of Caleb Williams. I think it's fitting, and Caleb Williams is among the best quarterbacks I have ever scouted in the NFL draft.
There you go. Let's slide Brad over to the captain's chair now and the Washington Commanders at pick two. This gets interesting now. All right, so a lot of debate on which quarterback it's going to be. So settle the score for us here, Brad.
So, you know, you think about who the OC is, Cliff Kingsbury, and what he was trying to do in Arizona with a miniature Kyler Murray. He gets a bigger version with a arguably very similar arm strength in Jaden Daniels. We're going with him because I think he can do what Kyler Murray couldn't. Not only does he have the physical tools, big arm, he can throw on the run, all the things that Kyler can do, but he's bigger, can hopefully take a better shot and not get injured as nearly as much. So for me, it was which one do we like? And for me, it was Jaden Daniels or JJ McCarthy. I mean, because I like Drake May, but I don't necessarily know how well he would fit with what Kingsbury tries to do. So for me, I was like, okay, I don't like JJ McCarthy anywhere in the top 15. So then it becomes Jaden Daniels. I mean, it's easy for me. So Jaden Daniels at two, and I think he fits exactly what they're going to look to do. I just don't know. The wild card for me is how does Dan Quinn play into the equation? If he leaves Kingsbury to run that offense, I think Daniels makes perfect sense and fits perfect what they're trying to do. If Dan Quinn tries to put his stamp on it in any way, that really does kind of muddy it for me, but I've tried to leave that out of the equation. So I'm going Jaden Daniels here, and I think it's a great pick for them. They need a young player like this. And you're muted, so I'll just keep talking because the people want to hear me.
No anyway. Arguments from the panel here.
No.
I was hoping you wouldn't take him, so that might tell you something.
Well, there you go. All right, so Jaden Daniels to the Commanders. Now the New England Patriots are on the clock, and Pigskin Paul is up here. You wanted Jaden Daniels. You just said it now, so does that mean you're going to settle?
Well, first of all, let me say this. I am fascinated as a guy who lived in Wisconsin for 40 years and became a Packer fan, even though I was raised with the Patriots being my team back in the East. I am just fascinated to see how Elliot Wolf is going to run this draft. And I think the organization in general, I'll be shocked if they don't make him officially general manager sometime in the near future. So I will be curious to see what he does. I would say clearly what everybody knows is that the Patriots need some of everything and better everything than what they've already got. I would be tempted to trade out, but by the same token, if they think that May's issues are fixable, They already have their starting quarterback for next season. Jacoby Brissett is there. And I could easily see them settling and saying, we've got to get a franchise quarterback. I don't think we're going to get one at pick 199 like we did once upon a time. We got to get one now. So I'm going to say they will take Mr. May and move on from there with Jacoby Brissett for the first year.
There you go. Shane, your thoughts on Drake? Why are we all of a sudden don't like Drake May anymore in the national media here?
I don't know. I think it's fatigue, right? We had it last year with CJ Stroud and people trying to push him down. I think Drake May's a similar situation. Like he's not perfect. Yeah, I think Paul summed it up well. There's issues to be fixed, like there are with any quarterback in the draft. But he still has size. He still can move. He can run. He has the arm strength to pull this off. And honestly, the talent around him in North Carolina was not great. The offensive line was pretty awful. Outside of Tez Walker, there wasn't many weapons there that I love. I think Drake May really pulled that offense across the finish line in the yep. ACC to what he was able to do. So I think he's going to go top three absolutely in this draft.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, Miranda, now you are up with the Arizona Cardinals. And since we can't trade back, because I think the Cardinals will be thinking about it.
I think so.
Is this as easy as I think it is?
Yeah. I mean, kind of how Paul mentioned with the Patriots, like Arizona needs a decent amount of pieces. But if they would pass up at this spot, if they weren't doing anything funky, they passed on Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, that would be tough to watch. So I'm going to go MHJ at pick four.
And none of us are going to argue with that either. Although I will say, I hate this. I hate not this pick. I hate Marvin Harrison and most of the quarterbacks all saying, we ain't working out. Tough luck. You got tape. Watch it. Personally, I think it really makes the game that we play as amateur scouts and it renders it. I mean, we just discovered the RAS concept in the past few years. And now it gets rendered semi-useless because these guys don't work out. You can't do a RAS if you don't get all the detail scores to plug in for numbers. So tack with all of them.
I would say I don't think it's 100% if the Cardinals stick at four that they take Marvin Harrison. Like I think there is a chance they take Malik Nabers over him. You know, we've heard that coming out. And it happens with every decision. Some teams have different receivers than number one. I think they're close enough. You know, like we saw with Derek Stingley, Sauce Gardner, where Sauce Gardner was the top corner for the whole process, and the last day was like, nah, Derek Stingley's going to go over him. The Texans took him over him, right? I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. I still think the likelihood's Harrison. I think it's just the pick I would make if I was in the spot, the same as Miranda. But watch out. You know, it could be Nabers at four.
I think they will risk an uprising by fandom in the desert if they don't take Harrison. Because what are the two comps that everybody keeps hearing about Harrison? Larry Fitzgerald. And A.J. Green, who finished his career with the Cardinals, albeit brief, but you're going to have a very upset, even if it's a guy as good as Nabers, who I think is actually a better wideout. I think he's more explosive. But you can't risk losing all those season ticket holders in anger.
How many season ticket holders they got now? I don't think that's the biggest concern. I tell you what, though. And maybe I'm wild and crazy here, but I don't know why I keep getting this in my head the last week of Chicago trading up from 9, either to 3 or 4 to pair Caleb Williams with Marvin Harrison Jr.
With what picks?
I don't know. With what? It feels too good. And Monty Austin Fort is like becoming the favorite GM of every single.
Yes, absolutely.
The board, especially after that video got put out last week. So I'm not. I think they moved down with somebody. I don't know they who. Could.
Yeah,
but I feel like that's what ends up happening ultimately. But if they stick at four, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the pick.
Well, the question I would have for you guys is, who can you find a receiver similar to Malik Nabers later in the draft or Marvin Harrison Jr.? If the answer is yes, like if you can find an explosive receiver like Malik Nabers, then you wait and you take, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. here. If you can't find a player like Malik Nabers, then you take Malik Nabers here and you find somebody like Marvin Harrison. I mean, Arizona needs multiple pass catchers. Trey McBride is arguably their wide receiver one, and he's not a wide receiver. So it's, in my mind, it's like, you've both your first round picks on receivers because you're putting all your chips on the table that Kyler Murray's the guy. You've got some offensive linemen now in front of him. You kind of got a patchwork defense. Just go get some receivers because they need all the help they can get.
I did see that in your mock video the other day, and I was intrigued. I'll get back to Jimmy's whenever Nabers comes off the board here. But I am up now with the Los Angeles Chargers, who are also a wide receiver needy team. And I like Quentin Johnson last year. He was my wide receiver one. Obviously, he did not have the rookie season that I think the Chargers brass or the Chargers had hoped he would have. I'm still holding out hope, but it's probably not valid hope at this point. So odds are they're going to go with a receiver very high as well. I don't hate the idea of Brock Bowers here as that tight end pass catch, but I don't think that's going to be where they go. So, but to me, it comes down, if I'm going to go with a receiver, who is more of a stylistic fit for the Chargers offense they're going to run? Is it Nabers? Is it Rome Odunze? And I don't think Rome Odunze is that far away from Nabers as a prospect on my board. I don't think there's going to be very much of a difference when it comes down to it. I think he's maybe going to be more of a willing blocker than what Nabers is. If I'm wrong, somebody tell me I'm wrong. But I think that's what I'm leaning towards here. And so I'm going to kind of go off kilter here a little bit. And I'm going to leave Malik Nabers to the Giants here at six.
Thank you.
And I'm going to go with Rome Odunze at pick five to the Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, for all the other reasons, I'm going to quickly say, let's save time. The New York Giants haven't had an A1 receiver since Odell Beckham got booted out of town. I'll gladly take Malik Nabers to be receiver one for the New York Giants.
Now, I wanted to bring up, Shane, you can maybe answer this question here. Jimmy had a comment. Heard mentions of possible needy-type character concerns from Nabers. Do you think that's valid, and will it make any help any decisions here in the top 10?
The source is one person, so with other people that I trust more disputing the report. So to me, it could be completely false. If it's not, if high being high maintenance a receiver is the worst thing, then welcome to the NFL at wide receiver.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. Come on. Malik Nabers is talented enough. No, I mean, I think the Giants are his floor. And I honestly think he's the offense he was in LSU is a lot more similar to what they're going to run in the Chargers than what Odunze ran in Washington. I'll say that.
I mean, that's fine because I'm not as much into the scheme as I should be. So, I mean, that makes sense.
But it doesn't mean that Chargers won't take it today. Like, I think it's a possibility. I'm like, Brian, you're definitely wrong here, right? But it'll be interesting to see how these three play out.
Yep. Yeah. Gasp at a needy wide receiver, says AZ Chief. From
the ghost of Terrell Owens is still here.
I mean, does anybody really believe these reports after kind of like late February, early March? I mean, as soon as I see something else pop up, I'm like, okay, somebody needed an article. So there you go.
Yeah.
Just that time of year.
Well, Brad, I moved you over to the big box here. You are now up with the Tennessee Titans at pick 7. This also feels easy.
I mean, if you've read or watched the Tennessee Titans mock video, you already know the direction I'm going. You know, they did a lot of really good moves, I think, in free agency. I don't like that they got rid of Vrabel. I love Vrabel as a coach. Yeah. I really wanted them to stick with him. But Brian Callahan, I think, is an interesting guy to go to. I think they want to run it with Will Levis. I think they can try to do something with him. I like his grit and his toughness that he showed last year. They made some moves to get themselves some DBs, traded for Legarius Sneed, got Owusu. I mean, they've got an offensive line that's in decent shape around him. So I'm going away from Joe Ault as much as I kept saying Joe Ault early in the process. And I'm going to go edge rusher because they've got Harold Landry and that's it. So we're going Dallas Turner here. If you've read any of my stuff recently, I keep pumping the gas on Dallas Turner because he's probably my favorite edge rusher for the type of scheme I think that Tennessee is going to run. Put him across from Harold Landry. I think it really causes a lot of mismatch nightmares for opposing offenses. Both of those guys can bend the edge. They're very athletic players. And I think it really helps them in an area that they've been struggling. Their defense has not been great. They've got Jeffrey Simmons, Harold Landry, and then there's been a lot of meh for the most part. So I'm going to take a premium pick here because I don't think you get an edge rusher later in the draft that has the same skill set that Dallas Turner does, as much as I love some of the other ones in this class. So give me Dallas Turner here and let people get crazy in the comments.
I don't disagree that Dallas Turner is going to be the first edge rusher off the board. He won't be my top rated edge rusher, but I don't doubt that he's not going to be the first edge rusher off the board. I am a little surprised that you don't go with Joe Ault here at offensive tackle, but maybe the depth with that position as well in this draft, that someone like that will be available at the top of the second round. So, or somebody maybe not that big of a drop off.
Well, they've got a couple of day two tackles over the last few years that I think, at least from what I've been able to observe and the few Tennessee people that I've reached out to, it seems like they at least are remotely interested in trying to stick with. So if they are even remotely interested in what they've got, they move potentially Skoronski on the inside. If they're really going to do that, I'm not entirely sure. Then for me, it's like your offensive line is fairly set. So you go get some defensive help because they need it. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons can't do it all by himself.
All right.
So could be crazy, but we'll see what happens.
Nothing's too crazy in the NFL draft. All right, Paul, you're up pick 8. Had to think maybe you were eyeing Dallas Turner there at pick 8.
Yeah, you know, you're giving me a headache here, guys. Yeah, it's too late in the day for a guy like me to think. Yeah, I had two Alabama guys listed for this pick. Either Terrion Arnold, the cornerback, because I still have questions about that Atlanta secondary, or Dallas Turner. So now I just take Joe Ault's name and I plug it down, and it's between Joe Ault and Terrion Arnold, and I'm waiting for the phone to ring because I got to believe there's a few teams, like the Jets in particular, I don't know what they've got to trade, but they would love to talk about moving up a couple spots to get Joe Ault to plug into their offensive line. So I am going to say, and let me preface it by saying, I think the Atlanta Falcons have a lot better overall roster than a lot of people think. And if indeed Kirk Cousins does still have juice, this could be they could turn the weak NFC South into a one team race, them against themselves. I'm going to go with Joe Ault for Atlanta. Their line is okay and solid, but they got some guys that they're going to have to pay maybe more than they're worth real soon. So I say they'll take Joe Ault since he's there.
Shane, what you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think it's possible. I mean, Jake Matthews was drafted a decade ago, so he's not too long for this world, and Ault could follow that up. You know, what Paul said, I do think they have their sights set on now, and that might not be something that Joe Ault helps, even if he is still sitting there, where I think, you know, a Terrion Arnold or Quinyon Mitchell would you know, would help that corner immensely. So I think it's a good pick, good value for sure.
Would they pivot if Turner's off the board to someone like Jared Verse or maybe even Latu?
I think they'd pivot to Byron Murphy, if anything, I think Byron Murphy has a real shot to go in the top 10, whether it be the Falcons or maybe the next pick to the Bears, as a possibility.
Jimmy's in agreement here. I think Atlanta would trade down in this scenario, yep, in all likelihood, for somebody that wants to get that top tackle. But obviously we're not doing that here. So, Shane?
Moving right along.
We've got you, Caleb Williams.
Thanks.
Where are we going to go here at pick 9?
Yeah, like I said, I think Byron Murphy is a real possibility if Dallas Turner is off the board. I think Dallas Turner would fit what the Bears do. You know, if he's gone, which Titans, Falcons, seems like that likely happens, then I think they could pivot to Murphy. But ultimately, you know, for the Bears, they are doing what I think they should do in this offseason, and that's support Caleb Williams, right? You know, with Joe Alt gone, I don't think it's a left tackle worth taking at 9. And this is a prime spot to move down. Only 4 picks in this draft. You know, they're going to want more. So another top 10, you know, as Jimmy said in the YouTube chat, maybe another spot in the top 10 someone could move up. But I think to support Caleb Williams, it's let's keep adding weapons. They added DeAndre Swift. They added Keenan Allen. They added DJ Moore last year. So let's add to it. I'm going to take Rome Odunze, wide receiver out of Washington here.
Wait. He's off the board. I took him at 5.
Chargers took him.
Oh, okay. So you took him at 5. So, but I think if Odunze is sitting there, right, then I think they would draft him. So then, like I said, I'll pivot to what I think is maybe an off-the-wall pick. But I do think Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas, is a perfect fit. You know, they tried to spend 2 day 2 picks last year on the defensive line. I think Jervon Dexter worked out pretty well at one spot. Sorry, Brian, I think Zach Pickens struggled a bit in his rookie season. And that's fine. I think Murphy gives you a nose that can rush the passer from the interior, which is what they want to do. You put him next to Montez Sweat, Jervon Dexter, and this Bears defense goes to a whole other level.
I don't hate it. You mentioned it. They don't have a whole. They only have 4 draft picks. I wonder if Alt was sitting there at 8, if they could flip like a 25 pick, to go up one spot to Atlanta, and put Alt in there at left tackle with Darnell Wright at right tackle. Then you bookended. I mean, I know they kind of like Braxton Jones, but man, that's Joe Alt and Darnell Wright bookending for Caleb Williams, man. That sounds fun to me.
Yeah. No, look, that'd be nice. I was hoping Paul would let him go one more pick and take Terran Arnold. But
Jeff Demaray in the chat thinks Odunze goes number 9. Bears brought him in for a 30 visit.
So it's probably his floor. I mean, it's probably not going past that. Maybe 10 at the Jets, worst case if the Bears move down.
Speaking of the Jets, Miranda, your favorite quarterback plays for the Jets, Aaron Rodgers. So what are you going to do to help our favorite holistic quarterback?
So I'm a little bit of a pickle because I wasn't sure if Bowers would be here. Figured there was a good chance. But as I sit here, I wonder with a deep – pass catching class, if I don't, they addressed a lot in free agency, you know, on their line, but there's still injury concerns. I think their two biggest, Smith and Moses, they're like 1-year deals. So value wise, I can't believe I'm going to pass on Bowers, but I'm going to go Fashanu out of Penn State at 10. Yeah, it feels a little reckless, but maybe I'm just trying to sabotage the Jets.
I love Olufashinu. I have for 2 years now. Not going to argue with the talent of the player, but kind of to put on what Shane said a while ago with Atlanta being built ready now, the Jets are all in like now, right? So with them signing Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, it feels like Fashanu, unless he's, I mean, he's not going to kick inside because they also signed John Simpson. So it feels like he's, unless he's starting over Moses, it feels like maybe Bowers would have been more of the early impact player.
Yeah.
But I love that 2 years of the next season, I think, and hell, Fashanu may start as a rookie as well, but I think he's supremely talented and the second best tackle in this class.
I just worry about, you know, injuries and, you know,
oh, yeah.
Both of those guys on those 1 year deals aren't necessarily, I mean, I think Moses is like 33 years old and he was kind of falling apart and I don't know.
I mean, what's the last season Tyron Smith played every game? You want to guess what year?
5 years ago, wasn't it?
2015.
Whoa.
It's 9 years ago since he's played 16 games.
Okay. Well, there you go. So,
wow.
I've changed my mind. It's a great pick.
Okay.
All right. So, the Minnesota Vikings have two picks in the first round, and many speculate that they will be using those picks to come to have already picked by now. So I think that's the case. But Brad, I mean,
you're gonna take JJ?
This is the scenario for the Vikings and what they absolutely hope would happen. They didn't have to trade up to get a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I expect this probably is how we see it in draft night. Maybe not some of the picks we've made, because I know some of us are trying to be a little off the wall like Miranda and I, but, you know, I think for the most part, these are arguably some of the 10 best players in the draft. So I expect either of the quarterbacks, whoever their guy is, probably is going to be sitting there unless they really want to try to push for top three and maybe they get lucky and New England really wants to trade down and acquire more. I think that's kind of the sweet spot where, you know, I haven't looked at the chart on how much the picks cost this year, but I would guess they probably have to flip both of their firsts with something to get to three. So, you know, if they really want to do that, if they think they're just a quarterback away, if I'm Minnesota, I don't think I'm just a quarterback away though. I think I'm a quarterback and some defensive help away. So they'd be smart to try to use these two firsts and acquire some talent. There's a ton of edge rushers in this class. Late first, you could maybe get a nice interior guy if your edge rushers are gone. Here, I'm going to go J.J. McCarthy, though. You need a quarterback. As much as I love Penix and Nix, they're not first-round picks. Penix with the injury stuff is not a first-round pick, and Bo Nix is too safe with the football. I don't know if what he did at Oregon really is going to impress anybody enough to spend a first round draft pick on him. So J.J. McCarthy is the complete opposite, because most people say they haven't seen enough out of him, but when he needed to step up, he stepped up. You know, there were times where they didn't need him to step up because this is Michigan. They ran the ball down your throat as much as they could, and then they ran it some more. But when you saw J.J. spin it, he can hit every shot that you need him to hit. He can throw the ball all over the field. He's got enough athletic ability to do what Kevin O'Connell needs him to do. He's much more athletic than what they've had in Kirk Cousins. So I think this really opens up another level for them. They've got pass catchers. They've got a decent offensive line. So give me J.J. McCarthy and hopefully Detroit wrecks him. So we'll see.
After watching him play at Auburn, I never thought I would hear the words, Bo Nix is too safe with the football.
I know, right? Well, but here in Oregon, he was.
And you're right. But I mean, he's a completely different player than he was at Auburn with Oregon. Like I said, if J.J. McCarthy, I think they're going to trade up for a quarterback with those two first-round picks. If it means getting into the top four, it's going to cost both ones and probably a one next year plus some sweeteners, right, Shane, you think?
Yeah, I think it's top three or bust. Like, I don't think anyone's moving up. I don't think anyone's moving up from J.J. McCarthy into the fourth or fifth spot. Yeah, I'm with Brad. I think 11 is a good spot for him, but I'm with Brian. If they're going to move to three, or the Giants going to move to three, the Vikings is going to have to give up both picks and probably a pick next year, a third or a fourth, at the very least, to get up to three with the Patriots. And that's if you want one of those top three quarterbacks. And I think there is a definite step down to J.J. McCarthy from the top three.
I saw a stat today at Dust Baker on Twitter. There, since 2005, there's been 7 quarterbacks drafted where a team traded up from outside the top 10 into the top 10 to select. 2009, Mark Sanchez, 2011, Blaine Gabbert, 2016, Jared Goff, 2017, Patrick Mahomes, 2018, Josh Allen, 2018, Josh Rosen, 2021, Trey Lance. So about with every other quarterback, like we talked about last week, Shane, it's just hit or miss. You never know what you're going to get.
Right? You're either getting a top five quarterback in the league or a guy that won't be playing in 3 years, right? I mean, that's your
spread. It's really no middle. There is no middle. I guess Jared Goff is the middle ground here.
Yeah.
Pretty good middle if you make a Super Bowl, you know.
Yeah. Not going to complain.
Yep. So, Miranda, you're back up now. Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos are up here. And consensus mock draft has Bo Nix the pick at 12. I don't buy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's on my radar, but I agree with everything Brad just said. I just don't know if he's first round, especially this, you know, the first half of the first round. Although, like, what the hell is their plan this year? I don't know. They need a lot of talent. So I feel like at this point, this wasn't even on my radar. I wasn't even sure that a really talented edge rusher, multiple of them, would be available. So I'm actually going to go Latu at 12 for the Broncos.
Okay.
Try to help out this defense.
Love Latu. Latu is a pass rusher. Broncos just had him in for a 30 visit as well in the past week. I liken his hand usage. I talked about it on a radio spot I did today. It's like watching these Mike Tyson training videos where he's getting ready for his fight with Jake Paul. I mean, his hands are so fast, and he's got so many pass rush moves. If it wasn't for the neck, I think he's the top edge rusher in this class, or he would be the first edge rusher drafted in this class.
Damn. Good.
All right, Paul, you are on the board with the
Raiders.
The Raiders, Vegas. The
Raiders.
13.
Yeah. You know, they really need a running back, but Brian has taught me, you don't pick a running back in the first
round. Oh, if you take a running back and pick 13, you're banned in the rest of this mock draft.
So it's don't do worry. It. I'm not going to. No, I'm not going to. I'm torn between two players and two different needs. And I'm going to say that it's about time that perhaps the hardest working player in the NFL, Max Crosby, gets some help in putting pressure on opposing quarterbacks. So I'm going to take Jared Verse right here.
Look, I think the Raiders are wide open as to what – you know, what they can do. And I like that. I like the pick by Paul. I mean, I think edge rusher is a huge need on the other side. I think corner, the way this board has fallen, to get the top corner in the draft this late, I think it would be huge for them. You know, they could go offensive line. Like, they can really take value, and that's a nice – no, I guess not an ideal spot to be in because you have a lot of holes, but a nice spot to be in where you can take whatever position is valuable.
Yeah, Fuaga was my second choice.
Well, I'm unmuted. I thought I was muted. I'm up next with the New Orleans Saints. And as me and Shane have discussed many times on the podcast, I say there's about a 10% chance this pick actually gets made by the New Orleans Saints. I'm putting it at 10%, Shane, that Mickey either doesn't trade up or trade back. I don't know which way he's going, but he's going one way, probably up. So, but Saints have an issue right now. They have a lot of issues, but they have one major issue right now, in my opinion, and that's both their offensive tackle spots. Drafted Trevor Penning a couple of years ago, has not worked out yet. I don't want to give up, but I'm starting to lose faith. And at right tackle, Ryan Ramczyk's been great, but I don't know. There's concerns. He may not even be able to play again. I mean, he's got a bad injury degenerative type injury that may prevent him from ever suiting up again. So to me, it now comes down to, are you wanting to move Penning from the left to the right side, draft a left tackle? If that's the case, I think you bring Amarius Mims into this conversation, or do you stay put and leave Penning on the left side and you're replacing Ramchek's replacement on the right side? If that's the case, I think you bring in Talisay Fuaga, maybe even J.C. Latham. Yeah. But the more and more I think about it, and I think that Fuaga is going to be the guy that intrigues the Saints the most here with his demeanor and his ability, you know, as a pass blocker and a run blocker as well. So with pick 14, on the 10% chance the Saints stay put, I think they draft Oregon State offensive tackle Talisay Fuaga.
Good job.
How dare you?
Yeah, good pick. I think there's a decent shot he's maybe the second offensive tackle off the board after all.
Yeah, I agree. But did a side question here. Did I hear that the Saints canned their offensive line coach and have brought in a new offensive line coach this year?
I would have to look that up, but it's possible that –
because I've heard some rumblings from the Bayou that more than a few people think that their previous offensive line coach has really been the guy that messed up Trevor Penning.
It looks like as of February 4th, Doug Marrone will be looking for work after he was fired by the Saints. So it looks like he was the offensive line coach.
Former Buffalo Bills head coach and Jacksonville Jaguars.
Why does that guy keep getting jobs? Okay, anyway. All right, so I am back on the clock again here, pick 15 with the Colts. And if history tells us anything, we're going high RAS, right, Shane?
So yeah, grab your RAS
sheets. So Brock Bowers still on the board at 15. But no RAS score. He's out.
I don't think he's out if he doesn't have a RAS.
Okay. I'm still eliminating him here.
Yeah.
From that scenario. Colts need another corner. They drafted Juju Brents in the second round last year, was solid, but they need a guy on the other side. And every corner's on the board.
Yep.
But one's the best athlete of any corner in this draft class. I guess technically now it would be Cooper DeJean, but I'm going with Shane's guy, Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, pick 15.
Yeah.
One of the best athletes at corner in the class and one of the best corners in this class, period. Lockdown guy was locked down all week at the Senior Bowl. You know, competition maybe was that an issue? It wasn't an issue in Mobile. That an issue in college? I don't think so. Quinyon Mitchell's a stud. Pick 15 to the Colts.
This is the dream scenario for the Colts, right? Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, and Brock Bowers all
on the board.
All there. Yeah. That's the dream.
Yeah. All right. So pick 16, Shane. You are up with the Seattle Seahawks.
Seahawks are always a tough team to mock for because they can always do something out of left field. I mean, you know, this could be a team where that takes the fourth quarterback if they go wild and go off the board. But ultimately, you know, bringing in Ryan Grubb as the offensive coordinator from Washington, for the Washington Huskies, I think gives an inside track for Seattle to address their biggest need, and that's on the offensive line, specifically the interior. You know, they signed Tremaine Antrim, who's I don't think is a stud necessarily playing guard, but I don't think you want to start Anthony Bradford at the other guard position. You know, Charles Cross and Abraham Lucas have been good, but this just feels like, why not bring someone in that knows the new offense, that knows the new system, that can play a tackle spot, they can play the interior spot. We're going to take Seattle Seahawks select Troy Fatanu, offensive lineman out of Washington, to join his former offensive coordinator right there in Seattle.
He's good, man. I mean, he's super good. I think he gets a chance to stick at tackle, but if he goes to Seattle, I don't know that that's the case.
He's going inside. I think
he's going inside.
Best interior lineman in this class, if you consider him that.
outstanding pick there with Seattle, Troy Faltano. All right, so Paul, you are now up. Jacksonville Jaguars, pick 17.
Okay.
What are we doing here? Well, we missed the playoffs last year, so we got to get back, right?
I've got it narrowed down to two players, and if I pick the second name, Brian's going to be really upset.
Am I, though?
So I think I'll play it safe and take the first name. I love the workout this week from Cooper DeJean. Let's give Jacksonville another defensive back. I think they'll try him at corner, but the worst that happens is he goes to safety, and he might even be a star as a return man with the kickoff rules changing and blah, blah, blah. So Cooper DeJean from Iowa.
That's a great pick, because I think with the way he plays, I could see him doing like what Detroit does with Brian Branch, where you use him as a corner in the slot. You could put him as a safety in deep center field with that athletic profile. I mean, that would be really helpful for a team like Jacksonville. That's a good pick.
Yeah, I mean, they signed Ronald Darby, but I mean, that's a stopgap, right?
Yeah.
I mean, DeJean starting over him. And at that point, I mean, Darby has played the nickel before, so I mean, you could always kick him inside. Yeah, I like it. Shane?
Yeah, I think it's a good fit. I don't know if that's the way you go with how the board's fallen, but I could see this being the pick in the actual draft, so I love it.
Well, that puts me on the board again, the Cincinnati Bengals. And Paul was talking about Brock Bowers, for everybody wondering, that he might have took there to upset me. And if he's on the board at 18, the Bengals are going to consider him. But I don't know that that's where they're going to go. I just don't know that they value tight end in their offense. Although I think he would be your slot receiver replacement for Tyler Boyd more than a tight end, if that was the case.
Yeah.
And I also mentioned Brock Bowers is not going to test. The Bengals don't care. So they've had, if you look at their 30 visits, they have almost exclusively been in two positions, offensive line, defensive line. To me, that tells me that's where they're going to go. They've had both Amarius Mims in for a visit. They've had J.C. Latham in for a visit. They've also had the guy I'm going to select, I think, in for a visit. They haven't had interior pass rush since Geno Atkins left. DJ Reader's gone. They've got to get better there. I think they love, and I think they take, if he's on the board, Johnny Newton, defensive lineman from Illinois.
That's who I was actually talking about, not Bowers.
I thought Bowers.
I mean, I'm shocked Bowers is still on the board this late in the draft. But here we are, pick 19. He's still there. Shane, what do you think about my taking of Newton there? From a Steelers fan perspective, the Bengals take Johnny Newton.
Thanks for not taking Brock Bowers. Like, thank you. I would be thrilled. If the Bengals pass on a top 10 player in the draft to take, and I love Johnny Newton. I love Jazon Newton. I think he's really good. But a lot of the defensive linemen they brought in for visits are day two guys: Devondre Sweat, Mason Smith, McKinley Jackson. So I wonder if you said maybe they go O line and then D line later. But I think Newton's worth the pick here. We'll see if he goes at this spot, but it'd make a lot of sense.
Of the offensive tackles I mentioned, which one do you think would better fit the Bengals, Mims or Latham or other?
I think Mims would be the fit, despite being athletic. I mean, the Bengals don't like to take those athletic offensive linemen. But
We can't have it. That's why I think it would be Latham, because he didn't test.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, the Los Angeles Rams, Brad Menendez, pick 19. Are we going to go BPA?
I mean, So you mentioned a player that we're going to take. We're going to go. We're not going to get crazy. We're going to take Amarius Mims because you need two tackles in this draft. I mean, what they're starting is not good, not great. I don't even know that I'd want to keep starting them much longer. So here it's which tackle best fits their scheme. I like Mims better just because I love his base. I love his explosiveness. The athletic profile for a person, a human being his size, is off the charts. And for you Raz fans, I think, what was it, like a 9.5 or something? So, I mean, he definitely checks the athletic box. And they need to protect Stafford. If that's going to be their guy for another year or two, I mean, you have to keep him upright. And you saw as it got later in the year, I mean, he was just getting banged up, and it wasn't pretty.
Yeah, I'm looking at their depth chart right now. Alaric Jackson and Joe Noteboom are the two contenders to start at left tackle. Yeah, Amarius Mims is day one starter.
Yeah, well, and look, I mean, Mims played right tackle, right, at Georgia. So you have that versatility that he brings to the table, too, which I think a lot of teams will like. So potential snipe there for the Steelers as well.
Yeah, Bubba in the chat, big Georgia fan, said if Bowers falls this late, I could see one of the late first-round playoff teams trading up. I agree. Jimmy says the Bengals have the smallest scouting staff in the league, which is true. They won't get cute, pick BPA. And AZ Chief says that Bowers would have to crash into a cop car tonight to fall this
far. It's true. Spectacular. He's going to be gone. Someone in the – like, I don't have a team that can take Brock Bowers. I'm just mad about it that I don't have one of those teams because I would have –
because Pittsburgh's not going to do it here at pick 20, right?
No.
Are you upset that Amarius Mims just went off the board at pick 19?
A little bit. You know, if a couple other guys have been off the board, I would have been very upset. Ultimately, you know, the Steelers, I think it's the past seven drafts, Mike Tomlin, the head coach, and whoever the GM is, have attended the pro day of their first round pick both. So, you know, some pro days they didn't go to, for instance, Duke, where I think Graham Barton would be an interesting pick here at center, did not attend, crossed him off the board. They did go to Georgia. They did go to Alabama. They did go to Clemson. I think Nate Wiggins, the corner from Clemson, is a possibility for the Steelers. I think Amarius Mims certainly is. J.C. Latham, I think, certainly is as well. But one player's fallen here who's not Brock Bowers, who should not have fallen, you know, unless I pull Roma Dunze again and missed him. But I'm taking Terrion Arnold, the cornerback out of Alabama. He very well might be a top 10 pick in the draft. And if he's sitting here at 20, I think the Steelers would be very comfortable to take him, start him across from Joey Porter Jr., and have just a stud cornerback group and finalize that defense.
Yeah, that would be pretty bad news for a lot of teams if you're pairing Joey Porter Jr. with Terry and Arnold here in the first round.
Yeah, so I'm happy to have him there.
Jimmy asks, I guess this is for Brad, no defensive tackle for the Rams with Donald gone. Who are you going to take?
I mean, there are no first round D tackles because they were already taken.
Outside of Murphy and Newton, you're reaching big time beyond that.
But yeah, yes, I mean, I think you could consider Darius Robinson, you know, but he's not a late first round pick, or he's not a top 20 first round pick. So he would have been a guy, because what is he, like 285, 290? I mean, maybe you use him as a kind of a flex inside there.
Yeah. But back to the Steelers. Yeah, Arnold, that's a great pick here. Could be corner one. I like Mitchell better, but I would not be surprised if Arnold is that first corner off the board. I am back up with the Miami Dolphins.
Make the pick, Brian.
Let's end this. Yeah, yes. Brock Bowers is going to the Miami Dolphins here at pick 21. No offense to Jonnu Smith or Durham Smythe or Julian Hill or Jody Fortson or Tanner Connor. Brock Bowers is another weapon for this team. I mean, he's a better slot than Braxton Berrios right now. Brock Bowers is a stud, and this would not be fair in that Miami offense for the Dolphins, right, with Bowers. So no discussion needed here.
No, let's
move on to the Eagles. Paul, back up here, pick 22. We've crashed to earth here with the Eagles. What are we going to do to get back to that Super Bowl?
Well, I think they've got some challenges here. I would have considered Bowers had he not gone ahead, clearly. Jason Kelce retired. I'll bet you at the end of this coming season, Lane Johnson will retire. So I think the Eagles have to consider an offensive lineman here. By the same token, the Eagles secondary, especially on the corners, was pretty bad last year. They can't keep rolling Bradbury out there at one corner and expect to top anyone. So my choice here is between Graham Barton as an offensive lineman or Nate Wiggins, the fastest corner in the draft, to try to throw in at a corner despite his slight weight. But hey, they got Devontae Smith on offense and he weighs 170 pounds and he does okay. I'm going to go with Wiggins out of Clemson at cornerback. Got to clean up that secondary with some youth and some athleticism.
Shane, I know you like Wiggins a lot, right?
I do. I like this fit. I think it's a good pick by Paul there to take Wiggins to the Eagles, get the speed that I think that back end of the defense was lacking late in the season. You know, they drafted Cam Jurgens 2 years ago, and Landon Dickerson. So I think they have the interior linemen to fill in for Kelce at least, but the cornerback room, I think Wiggins is going to be a top 25 pick, and there's a couple spots where he could go.
Yep. All right, Brad, back online here. This pick from the Cleveland Browns by way of the Houston Texans comes over to the Minnesota Vikings in a pre-draft trade. So here you go. You didn't have to trade this pick to move up to get J.J. McCarthy. And you mentioned pass rusher earlier. Is there one that you're eyeballing here at pick 23?
I mean, I think the obvious choice here, I'm kind of wrestling with it because I didn't expect an offensive tackle like J.C. Latham to be sitting there still. But I'm still going to look towards an edge rusher because I think they need help there. The struggle is I don't know. I love Chop Robinson, so that's going to be my pick, but I don't know how he fits in with what they've done so far. I don't know exactly how they would use him, if they would try to make him put his hand in the dirt or if they would just let him stand up and be an edge rusher, like pure pass rusher standing up. So that's my concern here. I'm going to make this pick because this guy is a first round edge rusher and I really like the player and I think he's got a lot of athletic upside and I think he would make any defense better from day one, and that's what Minnesota needs. They've got their quarterback. They need some pass rusher. So give me Chop Robinson from Penn State. I hope that they don't mess with a good thing because I really love Robinson, the player.
Yeah. Amen.
I think they'd stand him up and let him pin his ears back. I mean, I think that's what this defense does. It's what the Nell Hunter did last year, plug him right into that spot.
Yeah, I hope so. If they did,
nice, yeah. With Grenard, who they signed from the Texans, so it's a good call there. All right, Shane, back on the clock here. Pick 24, Dallas Cowboys.
I'm really between two players here. Both, I think, could be slam dunks. One is to address the receiver position with no more Michael Gallup. You have CeeDee Lamb. You have old man been traded 17 times, Brandon Cooks, and that's about it. So Brian Thomas Jr. of LSU should probably be gone. But also Grant Barton, we've talked about from Duke, the center. The center position is barren right now for Dallas. But, you know, I think center is a position you can get later in the draft, right? I mean, that's what happens often day two. We've seen guys fall. So I'm going to take Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, just the insane 4.3 speed, being 6'3", 210 pounds. Plug him in the outside with CeeDee Lamb in the slot. This is Dak's last hurrah, last chance. So here's the weapons to do it.
I mean, it makes a whole lot of sense. I like Jalen Tolbert coming out, but he has not done jack since coming into the league. So Cowboys may need to do something there. But I'm glad somebody finally picked another receiver. I could run this stat off that I read earlier today as well. Since the year 2000, there have been six wide receivers that have won a Super Bowl on the team that drafted them. Santonio Holmes, Akeem Nicks, Demaryius Thomas, Mike Evans, Robert Meacham, Reggie Wayne. That's it. In the last 24 years, six wide receivers have won a Super Bowl on the team that drafted them. I don't know if that means anything at all, but I just thought it was interesting and wanted to read it.
Damn.
Means something, but I don't know what.
I don't know what it means.
Doom, 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 doom.
All right, Miranda, Packers.
Oh. All right.
On the clock.
Like all of you, I think, have mentioned Graham Barton, and I was having a mini stroke over here. Because DeJean was taken, and it was between him and Graham Barton. Look, Graham Barton, he kind of has Green Bay written all over him. They love versatile linemen.
Yep.
The way Jordan Love is rolling and this offense was going, I mean, we're only going to be as good as, you know, he is protected and that line's protected. And I feel like if this is how the chips would fall, I think Barton's a very good possibility that Goot snags him. So we're going to go Graham Barton out of Duke.
Good job.
He looks like a Packer,
that,
though.
With that one, doesn't that's, he look like a Packer?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Now, let me ask you a quick question. If DeJean had still been available, would he have been in consideration for their secondary for you?
He was definitely – I still think I was leaning Barton, but that it was between those two for sure.
Okay.
Especially after he tested. I mean, it was hard to discount DeJean after, you know, we saw what he can do. But, yeah, I think I still would have went Barton.
If Barton is the pick for Green Bay, where do we think he slides in as a rookie?
To be honest, I'm almost thinking center. I'm not happy with the way Josh Myers has been playing. He's okay. I don't know, but I mean, we have those versatile pieces right now, but I mean, I would say center probably.
I think they might try left tackle.
Well, right. With
Bakhtiari gone. Yeah.
Right. Potentially.
Get the best five on the field, right? That's
exactly how
they do it. Yep. That's how they do it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Brad Menendez back on the clock, pick 26 in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The NFC South is trash, and Tampa Bay won it last year. So how are they going to repeat? What are we going to add to the team here?
I mean, I like how you gave me teams Detroit beat on the way to the NFC Championship. So I do appreciate that I get to pick for them. You know, Tampa Bay is one of those teams where they could go a lot of directions. If you look at their top 30 visits, they brought in a lot of linebackers and edge rushers, but we're going to go with a corner here because they've already, you know, obviously they traded Detroit, one of their top corners from last year, and they still, I would have, even if they didn't trade him, I would have said they needed multiple corners to help that secondary. So I would have liked to see one of the top guys slide a little bit, but I'm going to go Kool-Aid McKinstry because I love his bump and run skills. I think that's good for what they play on defense. He's got solid ball skills. You know, the length is there. I mean, a lot of what Tampa Bay looks for in a corner, I think he can give them. And I think this is a good spot for him to slide right in and start from day one. I mean, he's been doing it for Bama for a while. So give him Kool-Aid here. I know it's not a super sexy pick, but I think it works out for what Tampa Bay is doing because they've got their offense fairly set and their defense just needs a little extra attention.
You know, and I think we have to give consideration and maybe some kudos to Kool-Aid himself. I thought he had a down year. And then you find out when he goes and gets his medical, he's got a broken bone in his foot. It's been that way all year. You know, I mean, you take that into consideration. He didn't play very badly at all.
No. 100% agree there. Yeah. When you're playing hurt in a team, in a defense that's facing the SEC all year long, I mean, that's a big ask, and he did a great job doing it.
Yep.
Miranda back on the clock here with the Arizona Cardinals.
Well,
a pick acquired from the Houston Texans in the draft last year. So you've got Marvin Harrison Jr. already. What are we going to add with Marvin Harrison Jr.?
We're going to go defense here, kind of balance the scales a little bit. I was looking at Kool-Aid, so that's out.
You're welcome.
It's okay. It happens. No attachment to the Cardinals. Because he's off the board. Look, I think they were ranked something bad, 30th or in the last few secondary wise last year.
This is a bad roster.
Very bad roster. So I'm going to go Cameron Kitchens here and just kind of a do it all dude. And just trying to get talent and talented bodies on the field for a struggling roster.
Yeah, I mean, the safety position is so interesting this year because I think there are some talented players. You know, you have a guy like Kitchens who a lot of his play in the season is, you know, top 50 caliber and then had the poor Senior Bowl, the poor combine. But there are definitely teams that take that athleticism less into effect. So, you know, I think it'd be a surprise pick, but that's what these late first round picks can end up being sometimes.
I think Arizona needs to set the tone, right? Like they need to get some guys that are nasty. And I think Kitchens kind of fits that for what they would, what I would think they should want to do. So, I mean, I don't hate the pick. If they find a nasty guy late in the draft that they can add in that can really help kind of put some fear in these other teams in their division. I mean, they need to do something because people are just not afraid of Arizona right now. I mean, they're just kind of a cakewalk. So we need to do something to help them out.
I'm so out on this safety position. I don't know that we see one drafted in the first two rounds. I mean, that's kind of how bad I am with the safeties right now. But safeties and running backs, I'm out. I'm all the way out.
Give Brian another year next year. He'll have a third position you should never draft in the first
round. All right. So my final pick of this mock draft will be with the Buffalo Bills. And this almost feels like it's a receiver, right? It almost has to be.
Yeah.
And I mean, I honest to God don't know where else they would go. Maybe an interior offensive lineman, maybe, but I don't know that that's the prime spot here. Almost has to be a receiver. It just becomes which one. Do you go with the speed with Xavier Worthy? Do you go with the athleticism, A.D. Mitchell? Or
Lamb?
Do you go with the fun one and the athlete, the route runner? No, I'm going with Xavier Worthy. Speed is going to win the day here. He's going in the first round. I don't know where, be it here, be it Kansas City, be it in one of these other spots in the first round. Worthy's going to go in round one, so it might as well be to Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be interesting because they don't have an X receiver to take Worthy. They kind of saw, Buffalo saw last year, hey, when Stephon Diggs didn't perform, that's when we played our best. So what do we need? Do we need an X? Do we need, you know, an Adonai Mitchell on the outside? Probably not. Get the speed of Xavier Worthy. You know, you have Curtis Samuel. You have the tight ends are going to do most of the work. Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, Khalil Shakir. Let Josh Allen run and James Cook to clean up the mess. I think it could be a possibility.
I thought your boy Xavier Leggett would be your pick there.
Wow. I love Leggett, don't get me wrong, but he's not a first-round pick. Shane, you were shaking your head when I was considering Ladd McConkey here.
I mean, look, I think Ladd could go in the first round. I don't think he's going over the Texas receivers. I don't think you're going to pass. You talk athlete, you're going to pass on Adonai Mitchell, who I don't like, but NFL teams will. You know, I don't think anyone's going to pass on Tim for Ladd McConkey if you need an outside guy.
Yeah. Bubba in the chat, so Worthy, Josh Allen seems like a good fit. Yeah, because, I mean, he's not overthrowing Xavier Worthy, is he?
You know, I was really blasé about McConkey going into the season. And
same.
Then I kind of looked at the numbers at the end of the year, and he's almost 6 feet tall. You know, he's not 5'10", and seems to me at the combine he ran a 4.39. I thought he was Hunter Renfro. Now I don't think that's true. I think he's much more than that.
What was his RAS, like 9.6 or something like that?
Yeah, hold on, I'll tell you. I got
look. He played 75%. He played 75% of the snaps on the outside. This isn't a slot receiver. You know, that's not what Ladd McConkey is. He's an outside receiver. Yeah. Can play inside, but
yeah,
that's what he does.
So,
but you know, right. I think they're going to solve the inside a lot with two tight ends.
Probably. Knox, Kincaid's a big wide receiver.
Kincaid and Knox are both going to be on the field a lot this year, especially in December when the snow comes. Okay, enough of that. Sorry.
Brad, here we go. Detroit Lions, man. Let's get them over
something
the top.
Good this here, time. Bud. Something exciting. Come on.
I mean, they've just got to get out of their own way, and they would have been in the Super Bowl last year. So I don't know that we do anything. I think your Cincinnati Bengals helped them the most by letting them have DJ Reader. I mean, that was a crazy move that I was really surprised since he let him go. So no. With that being said, we know Detroit will do whatever it feels like. They love guys with great RAS scores. They love shocking the world in drafting. I'm not going to take a running back here, obviously, like they did last year, but it wouldn't surprise me. Anything's off on the table. If you saw my write-up for the draftcountdown.com, I took A.D. Mitchell here because they went with a crazy athletic profile. I'm going to go something different here, and I'm going to give him an edge rusher that I don't think people are talking about in the first round. I'm going Edgerrin Cooper here, another guy with a really high RAS score, but gives them another pass rusher, and it's a little different than what I did on the site. Just because we've seen so many receivers go, I don't know that they are going to go, oh, great, well, we're just going to take the number five receiver when we could get a really nice edge rusher, linebacker combo. They don't really have any huge pressing needs. So looking at the way the board fell, we could go offensive lineman because we've got some aging guys, but I don't know that, you know, Latham fits what they're doing. I think Jackson Powers would be a really interesting if he fell this far. But again, I don't know that you're taking a center this, you know, at this point in the draft. I think that still slides a little more. So give me Edgerrin Cooper just to go crazy here.
He's good. No, he's good.
He's a good player. It's not a name you see off mocked in the first round, though, Shane, but I know you are a fan.
I had a mock in the first round 2 days ago. So.
Really?
Yeah, I guess you didn't read my mock, Brian. Thanks.
I read the Bengals picks, if we're going to be honest.
Shane, you got so damn many of them, it's hard to keep track.
Well, look, I'm only on my 18th. We're only going to have 19. We're not even hitting 20 this year. So. But, yeah, I had him going to Tampa at 26.
Well, there you go. So,
I mean, I will say this was because corners were all gone. Like, if you look at the top 30 visits, they've had in Kool-Aid and they've had in some corners. After that, it's like, okay, well, what do you do next? And Detroit goes really good athletes and surprises people. So
you mentioned him as an edge. While a lot of people would have him as an off-ball linebacker, is you think there's some crossover there?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think when you look at the athletic profile, I think they could. I mean, because you've already got Hutch on the other side that can really set the tone. I mean, you could have him be that guy that could do some attacking from the edge, and it wouldn't surprise me. They also need off-ball linebackers because I don't know if Campbell's really the guy. Like, I liked him, but last year he was a little all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a transition. He only played 66 of his 751 snaps on the edge at Texas A&M this past season. So it'd be a big, big move to make.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Shane, this fell right in your lap here for the Ravens. They love Alabama guys. They need an offensive tackle. Is this
where this goes? Look, I think the board's fallen beautifully for the Ravens where they could take J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle from Alabama, who I think will be gone by this point. But I think another need is receiver. You know, they tried Odell Beckham, that failed. And I think Adonai Mitchell from Texas, who we've talked about, is another player who probably is off the board. But yeah, I mean, the easy pick for the Baltimore Ravens is J.C. Latham, right tackle, Alabama, plug and play. He has the ability. You know, I'm a little bit lower on him, but if you can get him at the end of the first round, just with the solid play that Latham has, it's slam dunk.
What's crazy is every single year we're watching draft, we're all going to do it this year. How do the Ravens always do it? The guys always, Ronnie Hamilton, Tyler Linderbaum, they always fall to them. The guys we don't expect to fall that far, they fall right to the Ravens. I fully expect now J.C. Latham or somebody of his caliber to fall right into the Ravens' lap at pick 30. Matter of fact, it's going to happen now. It's just the way it is.
There you go.
All right, Miranda, we're going to stare at you now for two straight picks to close us out here. Now up the San Francisco 49ers. Not what you would call a lot of needs on this team, but, you know, we can always get better.
Well,
I think they the way that they typically that Lynch runs this organization, it seems like they kind of they build up from the trenches, similar to like a Philly or, you know, a number of teams. And I know, you know, their defense, even though on paper last year it was, you know, still up to par, it wasn't up to kind of what we're used to seeing. So kind of looking at a big body on defense.
Oh no, don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Between two people.
We got a troublemaker in the midst.
Yeah. I mean, look, they lost Armstead and Kinlaw, so I feel like they need to kind of refill that pipeline. I just don't know who to go with.
Are you sweating the pick, would you say?
No. No. No, I'm not going there. No.
Thank you. No.
I'm going to go.
We can't have a DUI go in the first round.
Just don't get in the car with him.
We're going, I'll go Braden Fisk here for the Niners.
Oh, he's good.
Let's do that.
He's good.
I like Braden Fisk, and I think sneaky he could be in this in the bottom of this first round. He's an older prospect, but man, how dominant was he at the Senior Bowl
yeah.
In the ACC championship game against Louisville? So good. And as an interior pass rusher, I think he is immediately in the rotation for the 49ers, helping them out. I like this pick for the Niners at the bottom of the first round.
I mean, these last two teams, they really can do whatever they want because they've proven they know how to win.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, even if you took a guy that we weren't entirely sure was a first round choice, like, okay, I mean, you win. So, you know, shut up and trust you.
True.
Good pick.
We were briefly sweating there, no pun intended, her potential taking Devondre Sweat. The reason was, in case you haven't heard, Devondre Sweat was arrested, I believe, earlier this week.
Yep.
Charged with driving while intoxicated, left at the scene of an accident at 4:41 in the morning. He's admitted to several teams that he's had drinking issues, party days, all that, and then he gets stopped for drinking at 4:41 in the morning 2 weeks before the draft. That's like the ultimate failed dumb test.
Yeah.
And it's just a bad thing to do. But drinking and driving period is just out and out irresponsible. So any chance he had of going in the first round has probably gone away. At this point, I still think a team's going to take a shot late on day two, but he may fall into day three. You think so, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. I think it just depends on how the timing goes and how, you know, what he said to teams and if they believed him and then this happened. And, you know, he's a nose tackle, which isn't a position that goes super high anyway. So I think it all kind of hurts Sweat. I think a lot of teams are going to have him off their board if they have character high. And, third or fourth round at this point.
I've heard all the things that you just mentioned, Brian. And I had another one last night or the day before, and it was basically that Daniel Jeremiah was talking on Move the Sticks, and his comment was, you can't put your finger on it, but I was very uneasy when he shows up in Mobile and he won't get on the scale. Never happened before at the Senior Bowl. Even Mount Cody got on the scale.
I mean, it's not even the first time it's happened at the Senior Bowl in the last 3 years. Devontae Smith didn't get on the scale either. Opposite reasons, but yeah. No, I mean, it is a flag to me when somebody doesn't do that. But, I mean, hell, we've got guys refusing to weigh into combine now, so I guess it really doesn't matter anymore. Anyway, Miranda, finish this thing up here. Kansas City Chiefs, pick 32.
Well, I don't think this one's going to be a big shocker to close us out. Speaking of arrests, they need receivers bad. Obviously, Mitchell is still here. Big body, red zone threat. We're going to go Mitchell.
Mitchell. Slam dunk. Slam dunk. Love it.
We also
wait a second. You said you love it, but you don't like the player. So hold on a second.
I don't like the player. Look, it's a value, right? I mean, A.D. Mitchell, because of the athletic profile, I think go much higher. I think, you know, I think Brenda, it's a slam dunk pick for the Chiefs, and what they need is someone that can go out there. I think Mitchell's lack of production to me is very concerning. I don't think his lack of effort on 50% of his snaps is concerning. But, you know, the good is really good, and I think that's something the Chiefs have shown that they would take a chance on. So I think it's a good fit. Ultimately from Randy to make the pick.
Sweet.
JDG in the chat said Sweat to the Bengals at 97. I would have said that 5 years ago.
Not anymore, right?
Yeah, the Bengals aren't, I mean, they don't tend to draft character guys anymore. And under Zach Taylor and that regime, it seems like something they don't do anymore. So, yep. But anyway, so that's going to wrap up our one round mock draft here. I'll quickly recap the picks. Pick one, Chicago, Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern Cal. Two, Commanders, Jaden Daniels, quarterback, LSU. Three, Patriots, Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina. Four, Arizona, Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State. Five, Chargers, Rome Odunze, wide receiver, Washington. Six, Giants, wide receiver, Malik Nabers, LSU. Seven, Tennessee, Dallas Turner, edge rusher, Alabama. Eight, Atlanta, Joe Alt, offensive tackle, Notre Dame. Nine, Chicago, Byron Murphy, second, defensive line, Texas. 10, Jets, Olufashinu, offensive tackle, Penn State. 11, Vikings, J.J. McCarthy, quarterback, Michigan. 12, Broncos, Leiatu Latu, edge rusher, UCLA. 13, Raiders, Jared Verse, edge rusher, Florida State. 14, Saints, Talise Fuaga, offensive tackle, Oregon State. 15, Colts, Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback, Toledo. 16, Seattle, Troy Faltano, offensive lineman, Washington. 17, Jacksonville, Cooper DeJean, cornerback, Iowa. 18, Bengals, Johnny Newton, defensive line, Illinois. 19, Rams, Amarius Mims, offensive tackle, Georgia. 20, Pittsburgh, Terrion Arnold, cornerback, Alabama. 21, Miami, Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia. 22, Philadelphia, Nate Wiggins, corner, Clemson. 23, Minnesota, Chop Robinson, edge rusher, Penn State. 24, Dallas, Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver, LSU. 25, Green Bay, Graham Barton, offensive lineman, Duke. 26, Tampa Bay, Kool-Aid McKinstry, corner, Alabama. 27, Arizona, Cameron Kinchin, safety, Miami. 28, Buffalo, Xavier Worthy, wide receiver, Texas. 29, Detroit, Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker, Texas A&M. 30, Baltimore, J.C. Latham, offensive tackle, Alabama. 31, 49ers, Braden Fist, defensive line, Florida State. And finally, 32, Kansas City, A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver, Texas. There we go. Did anybody surprise you that we didn't take?
My list is probably Jackson Powers Johnson, you know, where I think, once again, center is a position that falls often. So, you know, I do think it's a possibility. I don't think there's anyone egregious that's still out there. Yeah. And then I'd say
the last one we left off, J.C. Latham. So that was
right.
I was surprised Tyler Guyton didn't get in the last 10 picks or so.
I think that's probably the other one, right, from Oklahoma, the offensive tackle.
That's I don't know about y'all, but I'm a Cooper Beebe guy. I really love Cooper Beebe. I would love to see him kind of late, early second, late first. I think he fits in a lot of those teams.
I think he's off the board in the first 10 picks on day two.
Think so?
I think so. He's just a guy that's going to – that a lot of those – every offensive line coach is going to want that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but all right, so that we're going to wrap it up now. Thanks again, everybody, for coming on tonight and doing this. Paul, we know you're old and you got to go to bed, so I'll send you off first.
I got to walk.
Thanks for coming on tonight, Paul. All right.
Good night, everybody.
Miranda, as always, a pleasure. And we'll, everybody, if you haven't read Miranda's AFC music piece from last week, go do that. The NFC one, maybe even better, coming out this Sunday.
Okay. I was going to ask which one you liked. So, we'll see. We'll let the people decide.
Big fan of this stuff. But thanks for coming on tonight, Miranda.
Thanks, guys.
Brad, you've been killing it on the social side, man, and we appreciate everything you've done for us in this draft cycle. Thank you as well for coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me, as always, gentlemen. Love y'all. Have a good night. We'll see you.
Oops. Took the wrong guy out.
That's all right. That's all right. You can just take me out since I was late. You can give me the boot.
Shane, final thoughts on this draft, the mock draft tonight?
Yeah, no, I think it was pretty good. I mean, I think Cameron Kinchin's probably the only player that's like definitely not going to go in the first. But outside of that, I think everyone else a possibility. Even like you mentioned, you know, Braden Fisk from Florida State, I think could fit in there. I like that some things were different. It is just a cookie cutter mock draft, which is always the fun thing about these is they turn out a little bit differently. And that's how the real draft's going to be. It's not going to be like everyone's mock. So
yeah, the Joe Walt to Atlanta when I was kind of like, what is he doing? And then you start thinking, I didn't realize that Jake Matthews had been in the league 11 years.
Yeah, so, right.
Yeah, that actually makes a ton of sense now. That I think about it. So I think he's off the board at 7. But yeah, I didn't hate it. So yeah, no, all in all, fun mock draft, man. And me and you will be doing this mano a mano 2 weeks from tonight. Next week, we're gonna get a little NFL insider action on the pod with Eric Edholm from NFL.com gonna come on the show next week. We're going to pick his brain, try to figure out what he knows, Shane.
Yeah, no, that's exciting. I'm excited to have Eric on. He's a good guy and an insider for sure, so that'll be fun.
There you go. All right. So that's going to do it for tonight's edition of the Draft Countdown Podcast. The Special Staff Mock 3.0 is in the books. If you're new to the channel, you just came across, you saw Mock Draft, hey, you got to get more of that. Hit that subscribe button. Like the video, share it out on the YouTube channel. If you listen to this, come across on the audio and you like how this mock draft went for you, be it Spotify, be it Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review or anywhere else that you listen to your podcast and share that out as well. You can follow Brad on Twitter at RotoHeatBrad. You can follow Paul on Twitter at PigskinPaul. Follow Miranda on Twitter at Murda with an A, she wrote. Follow me on Twitter at Deep Fried Draft. Follow Shane on Twitter at Shane P. Hallam. And follow Draft Countdown on Twitter at Draft Countdown. And for everything you need, including Shane's big, long 7-round mock draft he posted this past Monday, go to draftcountdown.com. For everybody, good night, everybody.